This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, March 28, 2017. Coming up this hour.
Chicago Fed President Evans strikes a dovish tone, saying policymakers could hike rates just once more this year.
The man who may replace Janet Yellen is optimistic that President Trump will pass tax reform.
South Africa's currency sinks as President Jacob Zuma moves to fire the country's finance minister.
President Trump plans to cancel Obama-era policies aimed at the Paris Climate Pledge, plus a call for the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee to step aside. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A rare Knicks victory and Islander loss hurts their playoff hopes. The UConn women are off to another Final Four.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer RIA that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 2 points. Dow futures up 12. NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%, while the CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100 are little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.1%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.38%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.26%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 44 cents to $48.18 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.10 to $12.56.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.0859, the yen, 110.69.
Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago President Charles Evans says policymakers could raise rates just 2 times this year if uncertainty lingers. He spoke exclusively to Bloomberg International Economics and policy correspondent Michael McKee in Madrid.
Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago President Charles Evans appeared somewhat dovish, saying 2 interest rate increases may be the right amount of tightening for the U.S. economy this year, given uncertainty surrounding the outlook for inflation and government spending.
One of the larger uncertainties is whether or not inflation is going to get up to 2% sustainably in the U.S., and so I don't want to get out ahead of these rate increases, but I thought that it was perfectly acceptable to get one in March.
A busy week of Fed speak continues today, but it may not provide much more insight for investors. Fed Chair Janet Yellen leads a parade of 4 central bankers in public today, although her comments will be on community development, not the economy or monetary policy. Kansas City's Esther George speaks on women's banking issues. Governor Jay Powell on the history of the Fed. Robert Kaplan of Dallas may talk policy in comments to the Council on Foreign Relations. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Michael. Stanford economics professor John Taylor is weighing in on monetary policy. In an interview with Bloomberg, he said it doesn't matter whether the Fed hikes 2 or 3 times this year, as long as policy normalization continues.
You want a more strategic Fed, a more rules-based Fed. It's not necessarily tighter. It's just a Fed where there's the describing what their policy is, so it's clear to people. The Congress is interested in that. They have some legislation that goes in that direction. I think recently, Janet Yellen and Stanley Fischer, the vice chair, have talked more about that. So there's a sense now that they get back to normal. It's called normalization. And then policy can operate in good ways as it has in the past, in the 80s and 90s, for example.
Taylor also addressed fiscal policies on President Trump's agenda, telling us tax and regulatory reform should lead to higher growth.
Tax reform is always difficult, and there's different interests that have to be considered. It's complicated, but I think there's more agreement or congruence between the Congress and the administration than there has been for a long time. So I think we'll be able to get it done. There are differences that people focus on, but that's a difference, which I think is a promising one.
In his interview with Bloomberg, John Taylor declined to comment on speculation he could replace Fed Chair Janet Yellen when her term ends. He is considered a leading candidate for the position.
Let's head to Europe now for some of the region's top stories with Bloomberg's Manus Cranny joining us live from our London bureau. Good morning, Manus.
Bob, Karen, a very good day to you. Let's kick it off. In South Africa, the rand slumped as much as 3%. That was an early trade in London. The drop came after President Jacob Zuma said that, was said to have told senior members of the country's Communist Party that he plans to remove Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan from his post. Now, that was according to 3 people who were at the meeting. A spokesman for the ANC has subsequently said that that was misinformation. Now, the finance minister himself, Pravin Gordhan, arrived back in the country this morning, and when he was asked by reporters that he may well be fired, Gordhan said, we live in an uncertain world, and that his boss, Mr. Zuma, must respect the order to return home. The rand has subsequently bounced from its lows. We're still down 1.3% at the moment at just under 13 rand to the dollar. In corporate news, the CEO of Credit Suisse, says that the bank has made massive progress in its restructuring efforts. Speaking exclusively to Bloomberg, Tidjane Thiam added that the firm now has enough breathing room to consider an alternative capital raising options beyond a long-standing plan to list part of the Swiss unit.
We know the market wants an answer. We know the market needs an answer. We're working diligently, and we'll give a very clear answer in due course.
Clarity in banking seems to be the holy grail. The stock rallies 14.7. That's up 0.2%. At its height this morning, we had put on 1% onto the stock value. Manus Krenning, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Thanks, Manus. In Asia today, calm returned to markets and volatility retreated. Bloomberg's Juliet Sully has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Japan and Australia led advances in Asian stock markets as the yen gave up some ground and mining players rallied. The Nikkei 225 closed higher by over 1% to 19,202 points in Tokyo. The ASX 200 added 1.3% to finish at November highs. Stocks in mainland China, though, were weaker, but the Hang Seng rose in Hong Kong. Casino players leading the way after Bernstein boosted its gross gaming revenue estimate for March. In South Korea, fourth quarter GDP was revised slightly upwards to 0.5%, and the KOSPI closed higher by almost 0.5%. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
All right, thanks, Juliet. And futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 10, NASDAQ futures up 7.5. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.37%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.26%. And the 30-year yield is at 2.98%. And NYMEX crude oil also higher, up 0.9% at $48.17 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr now with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee says Chairman Devin Nunes should recuse himself from heading the lawmakers' investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 election and ties between the Trump campaign and the Kremlin. Representative Adam Schiff of California says Nunes, a Republican, should step away from the investigation because of a secret meeting he had with a source last week on the White House grounds.
He would benefit from having someone else lead that investigation, much as the Attorney General recused himself from overseeing the Russia investigation. I think the same standard should be applied here.
President Trump responded by sending out a tweet saying, why isn't the House Intelligence Committee looking into the Clintons? President Trump plans to sign an executive order to suspend more than a half dozen measures in an effort to boost domestic energy production in the form of fossil fuels. The move is part of Trump's campaign pledge to undo former President Barack Obama's sweeping plan to curb global warming. The Scottish Parliament plans to vote for a second independence referendum today, despite British Prime Minister Theresa May's ruling out such a vote before Brexit. Bloomberg's Randy Jefferson has more from Edinburgh.
Scottish Nationalist leader Nicola Sturgeon is expected to win backing from lawmakers in Edinburgh later today, but she needs permission from London, and her problem is that while Scotland opposes leaving the European Union, Prime Minister Theresa May says the UK should be united as she triggers Brexit talks this week. The dispute over who has the right to decide Scotland's future and when is thus set to rumble on. Rodney Jefferson, Bloomberg Daybreak, Edinburgh.
Almost 2 weeks after the Dutch elections, Parliament will try today to form a coalition government. Bloomberg's Carina Roux is in Amsterdam.
Health Minister Edith Schippers was appointed by Parliament. She now can start the second phase of the coalition talks. Her first choice is to try to form a government of the Liberal Party, the Centrist Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Greens. It's not a logical combination. The talks are likely to be tough and may take months. Corina Rua, Bloomberg Daybreak, Amsterdam.
The U.S. cruise ship line Holland America says it has halted port calls at Mexico's troubled resort city of Acapulco. It will instead sail to other destinations in the country, citing recent security concerns. Acapulco has been plagued by high crime and drug gang activity. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. That brings us to 5:09 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now. Good morning to you, John Stashow.
Morning, Bob. The nation has watched a lot of college basketball lately, and some young players who look like they've got bright NBA futures. Knicks fans would love to see their team get in position to draft one of them. So hard to blame some Knicks fans who'd rather see their team lose this time of year to improve their chances of getting the top pick. For one night anyway, a Knicks victory, an easy one at the Garden, 109-95 over slumping Detroit, who's not looking like a team fighting to make the playoffs. Four straight losses, seven of the last eight. The Knicks end a five-game slide. They had a 15-0 run in the second half. Derrick Rose scored 27 points, Kristaps Porzingis 24. The big NBA story right now, the struggles of the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers. They lost by 27 at San Antonio. The Cavs are 6-9 in March, no longer in first place in the East. Uphill battle for the Islanders to make the postseason. A 3-1 home loss to Nashville drops them 2 points behind Boston, one back at Tampa Bay. Three teams are fighting for one spot. NCAA Women's Tournament, guess who's off to another Final Four.
Dribbles out the logo and dribbles out the clock. And the UConn Huskies have their 111th consecutive victory. It's a record 10th straight Final Four journey for Gina Orianna's team as the nation's number one squad thumps Oregon 90-52 in Bridgeport.
Freshman one, NCAA Radio. Orianna's 113th NCAA tournament win breaks the record he shared with the late Pat Summitt. Final week of spring training and Zach Wheeler, five scoreless innings for the Mets. He may start the season in the bullpen, but could be on the roster after missing the last two seasons. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thanks, John. And it looks like March Madness was a win for CBS and Time Warner. The TV audience for the early rounds of the NCAA tournament is up 10% this year. So far, the games are averaging 9.8 million viewers. That makes it the third most watched tournament in 24 years. Would be more, but Tom Keene doesn't want to look. S&P futures currently up 2 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures up 13 points. NASDAQ futures up 8 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update is brought to you by Wheels Up. It's time to up the way you fly with Wheels Up, the most intelligent way to fly private. To learn more, visit wheelsup.com or call 855-FLY-8760. The sell-off in riskier assets is easing, with most equity markets resuming their upward trajectories as the dollar steadies after U.S. stocks staged a recovery. The rand tumbling amid reports South Africa's President Jacob Zuma plans to fire his finance minister. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 9, NASDAQ futures up 7, the DAX in Germany's up 0.6%, 10-year Treasury little change, yield 2.38%, NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 42 cents to $48.15 a barrel, COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2 to $12.56.60 an ounce, the euro $1.0858, the yen 110.65. Carnival Cruise Lines is one of just two members of the S&P 500 scheduled to report earnings today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says Carnival will likely include an update on bookings for this year's so-called wave season when it releases its fiscal first quarter results. Rival Royal Caribbean said a couple of months ago that its season was off to a strong start. Analysts predict Carnival will post a profit of 35 cents a share on revenue topping $3.75 billion. Carnival gets 15 buy ratings, 9 hold ratings, and a single sell rating. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Jeff. And we're also watching for a couple of economic reports, including wholesale inventories out at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9, we get a look at home prices from S&P CoreLogic, and consumer confidence is out at 10. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump is preparing to sign an executive order aimed at rolling back former President Barack Obama's plan to curb global warming. The order will suspend, rescind, or flag for review more than a half dozen measures. On the list is a review of the Clean Power Plan, which restricts greenhouse gas emissions at coal-fired power plants. There is a call for the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee to step aside. The committee's top Democrat, Representative Adam Schiff, is calling for Chairman Devin Nunes to recuse himself from a probe related to Donald Trump's presidential transition. It comes after Nunes said he met with a person on the White House grounds to view secret intelligence documents that he used to bolster President Trump's claim of surveillance by President Obama. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks won. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thank you. Well, as Karen mentioned a moment ago, after 2 days of declines, European stocks are rebounding in a broad rally. Are investor concerns over President Donald Trump's policy efforts easing? Our guest this hour is Ben Kumar, investment manager at Seven Investment Management, joining us from London. Good morning and welcome. So how much concern is there that Donald Trump might not be able to get what he wants?
Well, I think we've learned that not taking the conventional route to getting things done on the Hill has failed, right? I'm going to come in and I'm going to be a new broom and I'm going to sweep out all of this old bureaucracy and the way politics works in the US. It's going to change. That hasn't worked. We're still in the old world where really you need to get kind of bipartisan agreement. You need to know that your bill is going through long before it even touches the House floor. So we're back to the old world. And now I think we're in wait and see mode of, can Donald Trump adopt his, you know, predecessors for the last 50 years? Can he adopt their approach? Can he make himself into a bit more of a politician who can play the system? That means going back on quite a lot of his election promises, perhaps, but it means he can get stuff done. And that, I think, is where we are. In Europe, at least the equity markets, there's a lot of positives to focus on at the moment. Therefore, I think that's why we're seeing a rally today.
Yeah, and where does that leave both stocks and the dollar?
Well, I mean, the stock rally in the US, I think, has been built on confidence and consumer confidence, which we're seeing an indicator of a little later today. From my point of view, I don't think that fades regardless of whether Donald Trump repeals Obamacare or does something on climate change or even, you know, sorts out the corporate tax structure. I think the consumers in the US in general are confident because they are seeing wages increase and they are seeing signs of kind of improving living standards. I think that's the main thing. Until you see that dissipate, I don't think there'll be a, you know, particularly drastic fall in stocks. The other, you know, positive we see coming, we've been talking about it for 7 years now, is that companies are gearing up to invest. They're maybe going to try and put some capital to work. I think Donald Trump's a good force for that investment in the US, because companies aren't basing it on policies. They're just basing it on what he's tweeting. They're bringing factories back if they can.
Let me shift things to your side of the pond. There's a debate beginning to form on the European Central Bank's exit strategy. How concerned are you that they not be ambiguous about this?
I think for the short term, the debate will only be in kind of media and investor circles rather than kind of any particular comments from the European Central Bank. That's the way I would be trying to manage it if I were Mario Draghi. The other thing as well is I think the longer they leave it, right, in Europe, we're really good at one thing, and that's kicking the can down the road to try and hope the problem goes away and we can solve it in 2 or 3 years' time. The longer Mario Draghi can kick this can of tapering or rowing back on easing, the longer he can do that, the more simple and the it becomes to raise rate into the strength of a growing economy. So the only real trouble is whether the German Bundesbank gets worried about inflation, puts pressure on the European Central Bank to start raising rates. Now, I think that will be avoided because the Germans have an election coming up, and I think that will take the headlines. You know, the German election and the immigration issues that they are facing is going to trump, for now, the inflation side of the argument. So I think despite the fact that it's gaining a lot of interest, I'm not sure you'll see anything, you know, arguably before winter of 2017.
Ben Kumar is investment manager at Seven Investment Management in London. Appreciate your insights this morning. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently up 2 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures higher by 10 points. NASDAQ futures up by 7 points. In Europe, London FTSE is down almost a tenth of 1%. The CAC in Paris is virtually unchanged. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury prices down 1/32nd. The yield at 2.3818. The 2-year yield at 1.2659. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and this is Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart and efficient choice to manage your philanthropy. Visit jcfny.org.
Continues.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. According to people familiar with the matter, South African President Jacob Zuma told senior Communist Party leaders he plans to fire Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan. Speculation about Gordhan's firing has swirled for months as he clashed with Zuma over management of the economy. Following the news, the rand has weakened to 12.96 against the dollar.
China's largest chipmaker has secured nearly $22 billion of financing from two government-backed investors in order to pursue acquisitions and expand globally. Tsinghua Unigroup will receive $14.5 billion from China Development Bank and about $7 billion from a national chip fund set up to drive advances in domestic semiconductors.
According to people familiar with the matter, Chinese ride-hailing startup Didi may take a $6 billion investment from SoftBank. Current Didi investors Apple and Tencent are said to be considering chipping in to avoid dilution of their shares of the company.
In Europe, Ericsson will book as much as a $1.7 billion extra costs in the first quarter of 2017 as the company's new chief executive prepares for leaner times. The Swedish network equipment maker is cutting costs and narrowing the company's focus as it contends with contract losses and four straight quarters of revenue declines.
To the U.S. now, where at 10 a.m. Wall Street time, the Conference Board issues data on consumer confidence. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg forecast the index decline to 114 this month. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
In February, the Consumer Confidence Index advanced to 114.8, the strongest reading since July 2001. Consumers were upbeat about the labor market, current and future economic conditions in the prior report. The Conference Board Index is based on a random sample of about 3,000 households. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you, Vinny. And Amazon has won the battle to acquire the Middle East's biggest online retailer. Its purchase of Souq.com comes a day after a competing offer of $800 million from the operator of Dubai's biggest mall became public. Terms of the agreement were not disclosed.
And futures, they're a little changed to higher. S&P futures up 2 points now. Dow futures up 8. NASDAQ futures up 6. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.38%. And NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 39 cents to $48.12 a barrel. The euro, $1.0859. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. The intrigue over Russia in Washington. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee says Chairman Devin Nunes should remove himself from heading the committee's investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 election and any ties between the Trump campaign and the Kremlin. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff is calling for Nunes' recusal after Nunes said he met with a person on the White House grounds to view secret intelligence documents that he used to bolster Trump's claim of surveillance by President Obama. Schiff spoke to reporters.
There's a sufficient question that has been raised in the public as to whether the chair can continue to oversee the Russia investigation or anything involving the transition team.
President Trump responded by tweeting, "Why isn't the House Intelligence Committee looking into the Clintons deal that allowed big uranium to go to Russia?" President Trump is moving forward to unravel his predecessor's sweeping plan to curb global warming. Trump plans to sign an executive order today that would rescind measures in an effort to boost domestic energy production through fossil fuels. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says sanctuary cities will lose federal funding if they continue to violate federal law. Sessions is imploring city leaders to comply to these immigration laws.
I strongly urge our nation's states and cities and counties to consider carefully the harm they are doing to their citizens by refusing to enforce our immigration laws and to rethink these policies.
Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel says denying federal funds to cities that are standing up for their values is unconstitutional. Emanuel spoke with Bloomberg.
Do you believe in small business? Well, you got to be pro-immigrant because 40% of small businesses are immigrants. Do you believe in entrepreneurship and innovation? Nearly half the patents out of the University of Illinois come from immigrants. So you can't be for a future if you're going to cut off the people that are driving that future.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says we will remain a city welcoming of immigrants. Cyclone Debbie has slammed into Australia's tropical northeast coast, tearing down fences, snapping trees, and knocking out power to thousands. The Category 4 cyclone made landfall in Queensland State today with winds up to 160 miles per hour. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Appreciate it, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. A rare victory for the Knicks. Their first in 2 weeks, 109-95 at the Garden over Detroit. Knicks used a 15-0 run in the second half to pull away. Derrick Rose scored 27 points. Kristaps Porzingis, 24. They'll host Miami tomorrow. The Knicks have not had as much as a two-game winning streak in over 3 months. Also last night, San Antonio walloped Cleveland. Right now, the Cavs do not look like a team ready to repeat as champions. 19-18. Since January 9th. The Islanders still on the outside looking in for making the playoffs. Lost at home to Nashville, who's won four straight. 3-1. The Isles still 2 points behind the last spot with 7 games to go. The UConn women made it 111 wins in a row and 10 consecutive Final Fours in Bridgeport. As usual, it was easy. 90-52 over Oregon, whose men's team is going to the Final Four. Huskies still haven't left the state of Connecticut. They're off now to Dallas to play Mississippi State on Friday. Heavy favorites to win a 12th title and fifth in a row. And other NFL teams on the move. The Rams and Chargers are in or going to Los Angeles. And the Raiders, who spent 45 years in Oakland and 13 more in L.A., are headed to Las Vegas, although not yet. They'll stay in Oakland for at least two, maybe three more seasons. Their owner is Mark Davis.
I have mixed feelings, obviously. I love Oakland. I love the fans in Oakland. And I know that there's going to be disappointment and maybe some anger. And I just hope that in the future, as we play in Oakland this year, that they understand that it wasn't the players, it wasn't the coaches that made this decision, but it was me that made it. And if they have anybody to talk to about it, it should be me. And I will, in the coming days, try to explain to them what went into making this difficult decision.
NFL owners approved the move 31-1. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. Now 5:37 on Wall Street. That is time for your Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Hi, Bob. New Jersey's credit rating's been downgraded for an 11th time under Republican Governor Chris Christie. Moody's has dropped the rating on general obligation bonds one notch from A2 to A3. The agency citing the state's underfunded pension system and other budget issues, including the elimination of the estate tax. Starwood Capital of Greenwich may win its bid for the Milestone Apartments Real Estate Investment Trust. A person familiar with the matter says in early voting, enough shareholders have backed the $1.3 billion takeover. Starwood's the investment firm founded by Barry Sternlicht. It sweetened terms of its proposed takeover last week, increasing its bid 10 cents a share to 16 and a quarter. With thrilling finishes and few upsets to knock out the most popular teams, the TV audience for March Madness games are up 10% this year. CBS and Time Warner share coverage of the NCAA tournament, and they say games are averaging 9.8 million viewers, making this the third most watched tournament in 24 years. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thank you, Ed. Evercore Partners Chairman Ed Hyman issued a warning on China's economy. In an interview with Bloomberg, he expressed concern about the country's debt.
China's a mess, and at some point it's going to blow up. And they have a ton of debt, which is unsustainable.
As for the prospects of a trade war with China, Hyman doesn't think it will happen. He cites the nomination of Iowa Governor Terry Branstad as ambassador to the nation as a sign President Trump wants to maintain cordial ties. He does, however, believe China will take a page out of Mr. Trump's playbook.
China is a little bit like, Trumponomics. It's make China great again. And so they're turned much more insular, favoring domestic companies. Sound familiar?
Evercore Partners Chairman Ed Hyman says that structural flaws in China will eventually overcome short-term progress. According to Bloomberg Intelligence estimates, China's debt has ballooned to about 264% of gross domestic product. Now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on a Broadway musical about subway riders giving its patrons cards for free rides.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that Olive Garden owner Darden Restaurants is buying Cheddar's Scratch Kitchen in a $780 million deal.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a vote in the Scottish Parliament on holding a second independence referendum.
I'm Steve Potas, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'm talking about the lifting of a moratorium on coal mining leases likely not helping companies such as St. Louis-based Peabody Energy in the short term.
I'm Courtney Dunho on KRLD in Dallas. American Airlines boosting its presence in one of the world's fastest-growing markets with an investment in China Southern Airlines.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting that people who have Google Home can ask it questions about Progressive Insurance.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Daybreak is brought to you by the Audit, Tax, and Advisory Professionals at Eisner Amper, LLP.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks climbing, the dollar steadying as the sell-off stemming from U.S. policy uncertainty abates. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2.5 points now. Dow futures up 13. NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.38%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 38 cents to $48.11 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.90 to $12.55.90 an ounce. The euro's at $1.0859, the yen 110.69. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Democrats are calling on House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes to recuse himself from the panel's probe into alleged Russian interference in last year's U.S. presidential election. President Trump will sign an executive order today to cancel Obama-era policies directed to combat climate change. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks won. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. Let's turn to technology, specifically the rise of artificial intelligence. It's already there to automate nearly half the tasks being done by workers around the world, and employees at H&R Block are the latest getting used to an automated coworker.
Hello, my name is Watson.
With the Watson supercomputer now helping tax preparers find the most deductions for their clients. Ed Harbor, Vice President of Implementation at IBM Watson.
It really is about the benefit of man and machine. And every single industry that we put Watson in, it's always about supporting man and machine. That's IBM's belief. That is the true value of cognitive It enables us as humans to continue to improve our interaction with other humans.
A recent report from the McKinsey Global Institute found automation is spreading, and people and technology must work hand in hand for economic growth to continue. Institute partner Michael Shuey.
One of our top line results is that half of the things that we pay people to do in the global economy could potentially be automated by adapting currently demonstrated technologies, not even requiring some sort of artificial intelligence breakthrough, but we really have that capability.
The report concludes about 60% of all occupations could have at least 30% of their activities automated today, but fewer than 5% of occupations could be fully automated.
We've identified a number of different activities which are more susceptible to automation. One of them is physical activities in predictable environments.
Or the kinds of activities commonly found in retail jobs, collection and processing data, as well as manufacturing. That could make it difficult for President Trump, who's pledged to create millions of new jobs by reviving U.S. manufacturing. Bloomberg's Rebecca Greenfield.
Depending on which study you look at, about 88% of the jobs lost to manufacturing since the peak of manufacturing in the 70s has been because of automation. Now, trade has taken a lot of those jobs, which is something that Donald Trump does like to focus on, but robots and factories are doing jobs for a lot cheaper, and you need a lot fewer humans to build the robots to do those jobs, and they're really productive.
Greenfield points out there are areas robots can't beat us at, and that's people skills. She says the future of American labor lies in jobs that require empathy and critical thinking, skills she says robots are bad at least for now. That provides little solace to David Kirkpatrick, chief executive of Techonomy Media.
The real problem is that a lot of the jobs that might be created in this more empathetic human world that Rebecca's talking about, which I do agree with, are not necessarily going to be able to be performed by the people whose jobs are being lost in the factories that are being automated. It's a different kind of person, and those factory workers may not want to be trained for that. And we, even if they did, we don't really have those training systems in our country very well developed.
But McKinsey's Shuey contends the workforce has adapted before.
People are going to have to change what they do over time. And what we've seen, first of all, historically, that's actually been possible. In 1900, about 40% of the U.S. workforce was involved in agriculture. And about 70 years later, less than 5% were. And we don't have, you know, over 30% unemployment. Because we created new activities, new jobs for people to do in the economy, and by the way, we raised the overall skill level through education so that they were able to do those new types of activities.
And in the meantime, computers are getting smarter. Masayoshi Son of SoftBank last month reiterated his belief that computers will not only exceed human intelligence in 3 decades, but he expects one computer chip to have the equivalent of a 10,000 IQ.
If the guy has 200 IQ, we call them genius. If the guy has 10,000 in IQ, what should we call? Super intelligence, okay? That is beyond our average people's imagination, how smart they are. But in 30 years, I believe this is going to become a reality.
And again, while the McKinsey report said the technology is already there to automate almost half the tasks being done by workers around the world, it doesn't see this happening overnight. The report suggests it could be 2055 before that occurs, but that estimate could fluctuate by 20 years in either direction, depending on various factors and economic conditions.
Back to work, everybody. Work, 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 work.
See, Bob, those robots are tough. Be happy you're still surrounded by humans.
They don't sound so super intelligent to me.
Well, that was back to the days of the Jetsons, so
oh,
they
see.
Were just foreseeing what's happening now. Yes.
Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Michael Best discuss claims from House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes that he has evidence supporting President Trump's claims of wiretapping during the campaign. They speak to Fordham University professor Andrew Kent and Liza Goitein, co-director for the Liberty and National Security Program at Brennan Center.
Andrew, this is a somewhat confusing and seemingly strange situation here where you have the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee having gone to the White House with information when it's possible the committee is going to be investigating the president. How unusual is this situation in your view?
I think it's extremely unusual. And, you know, a number of folks on the Republican side, including John McCain, have said as much. You know, obviously there are, you know, close political links between a president and members of his party in the Congress. But when the president's own conduct and the conduct of his campaign and close aides to him are the subject of such an incredibly important and sensitive investigation that the House Intelligence Committee is undergoing, you know, this behavior by the chairman is really extraordinary and quite inappropriate.
Liza, it's still unclear because Nunes has refused to say where he got these documents from. They're supposedly classified documents. If they are really classified documents and he showed them or told the press about them, is that a prosecutable offense?
Well, certainly Nunes himself and many others on his committee have really made a point of underscoring how dangerous it is to leak classified information and have emphasized that people who do leak such information should be prosecuted. So if they are to be believed, it absolutely is a prosecutable offense. And it does appear that some of what Mr. Nunes was saying in his press conferences was classified information. Now, the president is able to declassify information quickly and easily, and there is a question in this case about whether there was coordination between the White House and Nunes in his announcements. And recently we learned that Nunes was actually at the White House the day before he gave his press conference using some secure compartmented facilities there. That's a place where you go to look at classified information. So, you know, there's some real questions here about where this information came from. And frankly, you know, if the president did declassify information so he could reveal it, I think that's more disturbing than it is reassuring.
And that is Liza Goitein, co-director for the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center, and Fordham University professor Andrew Kent, speaking to Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Michael Best. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. Futures this morning are a little changed to higher. S&P futures up 2.5 points. Dow futures up 13. NASDAQ futures are up 8. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. The CAC in Paris up about 0.1%. So is the FTSE 100. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 gained 1.1% today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield 2.38%. The yield on the 2-year 1.26%. The 30-year yield at 2.98%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 39 cents to $48.12 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.90 to $12.55.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.0861. The yen, 110.70. And checking the British pound this morning, it's at $1.2564. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
A federal judge has ruled a Federal Election Commission rule on independent expenditures can be challenged in court. The rule allows political ads to air without disclosing the donors behind them. The FAA will set standards to remotely identify a drone's operator and position while in flight. This could allow for drone flights over people and beyond the operator's line of sight. And 23 states have introduced legislation to require political candidates to release their tax returns. The measure follows President Trump's refusal during the campaign.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.